Welcome back, everybody. It's time. It's that time of the week. It's Wednesday. It's True Crime on Easy Street.
What if they're listening on Thursday? You just screwed up their whole morning.
They're okay.
Then they're late.
They're late. Why are you late to the party? But that's okay. Better late than never.
That's true. We're glad to have you, whatever.
Yeah, my name's Kelly Turner, not a doctor.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
She forgot.
I was reading.
She was reading. It is Katie's turn today to sit in the big chair, so she was just making sure her notes are perfect for you out there in True Crime on Easy Street land.
Are we going to tell everybody how the sausage gets made on this podcast? Because what we're doing today, sure. I guess I'm doing it, we're recording two episodes today.
Nobody cares.
Easter is coming up.
Yeah.
And Katie is going to go first.
Yep, she's first.
And then Kelly later today. Now, you folks listening won't hear this until next week, but yeah, we're recording it today. Mm-hmm. And Kelly teased it in the group chat yesterday that it is, let me make sure I get this right, bat shit crazy.
Yes.
So there's your tip off to make sure and come back next week.
Well, I think both of these are pretty
Katie, insane. You said yours is kind of nuts too, right?
Casey, yeah, it seems like Casey's, Kelly's is a little nuttier. We'll see.
We'll see. You be the judge of that.
Yep,
listen this week and then come back next week.
Guys.
And then tell us which is nuttier.
Yeah, if you're out there listening and you want to know how to play the part of a dummy to perfection, listen to me today because I have no idea what's about to happen.
A little about Scott today, too. He's got on his sunglasses inside.
I keep forgetting I have them on. They're prescription. I need them to see.
Yeah, he's got a new spring smoking jacket.
Yes.
And he's smoking.
And he's vaping, which is bad. Yeah. Everybody who's listening, vaping is bad.
Thank God this is not a visual medium because I am not much of a sight for sore eyes today.
Yeah,
but I'm comfy.
I do like your jacket. Yeah, if he was actually lighting up a cigarette in here, you would be removed quickly.
Yeah, no smoking in the studio.
I am not a cigarette smoker.
Right. Good for you.
Yeah.
That's good.
Since when?
January.
Very proud.
Look at you. New Year's resolutions.
Not really. I ran out of cigarettes one night and forgot to stop at the store the next morning. The next thing I knew, it had been 2 days. And I was like, I don't even miss this.
Good for you.
But then I started vaping.
I've heard that vaping is harder to quit than smoking, so you may just be stuck with that habit
now.
Don't
start doing it.
Yeah, just don't even pick it up.
And kids, do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah, no, I'm not about any of it. I've got a friend who's quitting vaping right now, and she has these little, like, I guess, fake vapes that she's messing with. And one of them, like, I guess you could chew on it. You're not supposed to. But she just, you know, has like a chew toy she's hanging around with. She doesn't listen, so I can talk about her.
Hi, Brooke.
Yeah. Shout down to Brooke. Does not listen. But
also, shout out for quitting.
Yes.
Good for you.
Yeah.
That's the one time you want to be a quitter, right? All right, we're off the soapbox. Does anybody have any shout outs for today?
You can't see it out there, but I'm raising my hand.
Okay.
Do tell.
A friend of ours, mine, I don't know if you guys know him or not, his name is Chauncey Fowler.
Hey, Chauncey. Thanks for listening.
He's a Georgia native, I believe, who has relocated. We get that story a lot here in Cherokee County, Alabama. Mm-hmm. A lot of folks coming over in their retirement years to live on the lake and slow down a little bit, enjoy life.
Yes.
Chauncey, I believe, is one of those guys, and he listens to the show. We were talking about it yesterday for a few minutes, and I said, I don't know your last name, but I will give you a shout out. And so he gave me his business card. I'm holding it right now.
Nice. Okay. Thank you for listening.
Thanks for listening, Chauncey.
Yeah.
Tell Bab we said hello.
Proud of you for keeping up with that.
Yeah,
it's a miracle.
I know.
Luckily, I'm wearing the same pants from yesterday, so it was in the pocket when I got up this morning.
Okay. So we are your local team of experts. We're in the studio on Easy Street. And now it's time to get to today's case. Katie, what is the title of today's episode?
Melissa Kennedy.
Okay, so take it away, Katie.
So today's episode, we're going to be in Bay County, Florida.
Ooh, that's a great place.
Yeah.
Which is on the panhandle. Mm-hmm. It's a small community. When I tried to look it up, it gave me their version of a Chamber of Commerce recommendations, I guess. You know,
yeah, right.
Are they on the beach?
So where we're at is not on the beach, but Bay County is.
Yes, beautiful beaches there. Yeah.
And everybody knows their neighbors in this little area that we're going to be at. So this happening in this little area was shocking. Mm-hmm. We've been in Florida before. You know, there's the trope of the Florida man. So usually stuff happens in Florida. It's not that shocking.
And sometimes that panhandle, whew, you got to watch it.
Yeah.
You never know what's going on in Florida.
So Melissa Kennedy was a 42-year-old woman in 2015, where our story is going to take place. She is a Florida native. She lived a relatively quiet life. She had no criminal record, no reputation for violence, nothing going on.
Okay. Average. Mm-hmm. Average lady.
Why do I feel like that's all about to change?
She was dating a man named Clifford Lewis. Clifford's a little older than her. He is 59 in 2015.
Okay.
And he had cancer. Mm. So he has lung cancer, and this cancer battle is going to turn terminal.
Oh, man.
So when he becomes terminally ill, Melissa is going to move in to take care of him for what's supposed to be his final months of life.
Sure. I mean, all seems normal right now, Scott.
Yeah, but I feel darkness coming.
Do you hear the ominous music?
I do.
Yeah.
So the neighbors have reported that they were kind of strange, but they were a functioning pair. Like, they didn't really see them jiving much. But also, Clifford stayed inside. He wasn't out and about much. Like I said, he stayed inside most of the time, and he had this recliner in his living room, and he sat in that recliner. That was where his life consisted these final months.
I feel like we're zooming in on the crime scene.
But he just didn't feel like getting up. He's got terminal cancer.
It really had taken its toll on him in the last several months. So later on, though, Michelle is going to claim that Clifford was abusive.
From the recliner?
From his recliner before he was...
Before he was put in his recliner. Okay, before the
illness
took him down.
Before and during, though.
The
abuse did not stop.
Just walk wider around the recliner.
I could outrun him around the couch.
Anyway, sorry.
He was controlling. He was physically and mentally abusive. That he was just a violent person in general.
Oh, no. Okay.
Other people do not share in this report. There was no other reports of this. Other people said, well, we didn't know this about Clifford, but that is not.
I mean, you hear that a lot, right? Yeah.
So we don't really know the ins and outs of their private relationship. She never filed any police reports against him. There was never any documentation of abuse. Mm. So we don't know what happened in their relationship, but we do know how it ended. So it all starts with a 911 call.
Always does.
So on October 23rd, 2015, a family member of Melissa is going to be concerned. And I'm not exactly sure what family member this was. The article I read didn't name them. I don't know if it was her mom, if it was a cousin.
Okay.
Melissa hadn't been returning their calls, though. And then they go to reach out to Clifford, and no one had heard from him in days.
Mm. Yeah, it sounds like we need a welfare check.
So they're going to call in a welfare check. Mm-hmm. And deputies are going to respond to their home, which is on a road called Laney Row Road. Laney Row Road.
Okay.
And they are going to find Melissa outside of the house in a pickup truck holding a shotgun.
Oh.
And when...
I didn't see that coming.
No, I really... Yeah.
And like I said, this 911 call was placed because she's not returning calls and no one had heard from Clifford.
Ooh.
It's not because there was a report of a woman outside holding a shotgun.
So the neighbors haven't called in anything. Right.
Did you guys see the story in the news a couple of days ago where a guy called into 911, and while he's on the phone with the operator, he overhears her ordering breakfast in the middle of the 911 call?
No. Where was this?
Like over her shoulder. She says, get me a McGriddle. I was
awful.
In the news. I forget what state it was
That's
in.
That's terrible.
Yeah. Sorry for that.
Squirrel.
Track jump.
that's
okay. So
insane.
We'll talk about that later over some Bloody Marys at brunch.
We will
on
circle
Easy
back
Street.
To that off the air.
So they get to the home and she's just sitting in this pickup truck with a shotgun. Okay.
She tells them she just killed her boyfriend.
Oh.
I thought I had a thought there, but nope, I'm just going to wait and see what happens.
When they enter the home, they actually discover something that's even worse. Because Michelle had not just killed her boyfriend.
Boy.
Clifford had been dead for days in that recliner.
Mm.
Shot once in the head.
Oh, no. She left him and just left him in the recliner?
He was in the recliner, was not freshly dead.
Oh, no. In the Florida heat?
In the what year? What 2015. What, so they had air conditioning.
Well, what month are we in?
October.
So maybe.
It could still be hot.
It really could.
Still be 80 degrees in the daytime.
Oh, my gosh. Neighbors weren't reporting a smell or anything?
Not yet.
Not to be gross, yeah. but that's it happens.
That's how a lot of crime scenes get discovered.
Yes. Katie, I don't even have a question. Just help me.
Is what the fuck a question? Because
there you
if
go. Okay,
then I have
a good,
one.
There's a good one. Okay.
But yeah, basically Melissa's sitting in the truck, shotgun in hand, says she's killed her boyfriend, threatening to kill herself. Deputies take her into custody. They actually first hospitalize her involuntarily under the state's Baker Act. And then they're going to file charges once she's released from the hospital. Well, I'll tell you more about what happened in those days leading up to the police showing up after these words from our sponsor.
Kelly and Katie, let me tell you guys a story. Just a quick one about something that happened to me recently while I was dining at Easy Street Restaurant, Bar, and Performance Hall. A man there told me that he and his wife were moving into the area sometime soon, and they were looking for somewhere to live. And I said, the first guy you should call is Greg Oliver. Greg is the owner and broker at Go Realty here in Center. If you're like the man that I met who is thinking of moving to this area and you're looking for a home or property anywhere in Northeast Alabama or Northwest Georgia, give Greg Oliver a call at 256-504-3847. Greg has a full list of waterfront, residential, commercial, farm, and investment properties, and he is ready to help you find whatever you are looking for. Greg has 25 years of experience in the real estate market, and you can see a complete list of his current properties by visiting gregoliverweislake.com. So visit the website or call Go Realty and Greg Oliver today at 256-504-3847.
Are you looking for a health option in Cherokee County where the staff makes you feel like family? Then look no further than Cherokee Family Healthcare.
Cherokee Family Healthcare treats patients of all ages with an emphasis on personalized care. Call 256-266-1021 to schedule an appointment or walk into the office at 819 West Main Street and Center if you aren't feeling well and let them help you return to good health.
Connie Geimer and the staff at Cherokee Family Healthcare are currently accepting new patients and they accept most insurance plans. So whether you're suffering from a cold, the flu, aches or pains, or want to learn more about weight loss or preventative testing, make an appointment today by calling Connie Geimer and the staff at Cherokee Family Healthcare, 256-266-1021, and let them get you on your way back to good health.
Hey, true crime fans, it's time to start planning your 2025 summer vacation. And why not take it right here in Cherokee County, Alabama?
We have a ton of fun things to do right here in Cherokee County. You can wet a hook in Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, take in the breathtaking views at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the National Preserve at Little River Canyon, enjoy an all-day splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of lodgings, RV sites, kayak rentals, and campgrounds, and they're all anxious to meet your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come stay with us this summer, us from wherever you are. Plan your Northeast Alabama summer vacation by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
Thank you to all of our wonderful sponsors. Katie, as Scott was saying, what the F?
So Melissa Kennedy stayed in that home with Clifford's body for 5 days.
Well, what was the place? The girl who died in the couch.
Oh my gosh.
That was long. That was as long, if not longer.
Why do I keep picking stories where that was my, that was me too.
She had molded into that was the couch.
Yeah.
Katie did that one.
He hadn't become part of the recliner yet.
But he was headed that way.
Oh my gosh.
She covered him with a blanket.
Oh, well.
And she told investigators that she didn't know what else to do. She wasn't thinking straight. But she ate meals, she watched TV, and she slept on the couch across from him for those 5 days. She actually said that she made him meals and still spoke to him during that time.
What?
Yeah. the look on your face says, ah!
This is like Psycho, straight out of that movie.
Hello, mother.
Was she wearing his clothes?
I don't think so, but...
do you sit on a couch and just watch TV?
He just draped a blanket over him and acted like he wasn't there.
Body in the recliner.
Well, I guess didn't act like he wasn't there. She's talking to him. Said that the medical examiner confirmed that he had died almost instantly because it was a clean shot to the head.
Yeah. Well, and it's a shotgun to the head.
Yeah,
there had to have been mess.
I mean, I don't need a medical examiner to tell me he died instantly. Mm-hmm. But I guess you still have to have that.
Yeah.
And our big question in this is why? Like, what is your motive? So this is where we come back to that Melissa had claimed that Clifford had sexually assaulted her, that he had been physically and emotionally abusive, and that that night she just snapped. She took the gun and she pulled the trigger.
How do you sexually assault someone from the recliner?
Well, we don't know exactly what was going on in that house. Maybe he wasn't as recliner.
Maybe.
Ridden as we
maybe,
think.
Maybe not.
Maybe not, but prosecutors weren't so sure about that.
Okay.
So, you know, they're not convinced with her story. The shotgun that she used was purchased for her by a man named Jason Cantrell, who was arrested after authorities, you know, found out that he bought this gun for her, knowing of her intent to shoot her boyfriend. So he is going to be charged with principal to first degree murder. She had time to leave if she wanted to.
She had 5 days to leave.
Mm-hmm. But according to her statements, she had thought about it. Like, she had thought about killing him for a while. Mm-hmm. So she had made her plan.
Okay.
And when the night that she snapped, she snapped. They found no signs of struggle. No.
I mean, yeah, he was just laying in the recliner and she walked up and shot him. But the question is, what did he do before all of this?
There's no injuries on Michelle consistent with a recent assault. But still, she sat there for 5 days in the house with a man she killed.
Did he have a life insurance policy or
not that I know of? Not
motive.
For her.
I'm looking for motive here.
Not a money motive.
Okay.
There, that had developed a smell.
Oh,
from officer reports.
Oh yeah, I'm sure those poor officers going in and having to. Oh.
And now she is going to be charged with first degree murder. Her defense, you know, it was pretty hard on mental health.
I think that's the only defense you have. And I think that's legit.
Temporary insanity?
Well, I don't know how temporary because you stayed in the house for 5 days. Mm. That's not considered typical behavior.
I would agree.
If you're the defense attorney, Katie, that's definitely what you're going for, right? You're focusing on that.
And they're going to lean on that she was emotionally battered. And we had touched before on battered woman syndrome. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And so I think that was part of what they were trying to get at. I don't know how much battered woman syndrome comes into court now, but it was Judith and Neely, right? That we talked about it.
We talked about that. We also talked about the Thanksgiving dinner lady.
Thanksgiving dinner. Yeah.
You remember that where she was, she had just had it with him. He was.
And she ate him for Thanksgiving dinner.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. I was trying to put that one back together. I've forgotten, but that jaggled it loose there.
Oh, my gosh.
Jaggled.
And I think we talked about it during that episode as well. But they did try to use that in Judith and Neely's defense in court.
And spoiler alert, it didn't work out well for her. Spoiler alert.
Hey, Judy, wherever you are. Well, we know exactly where she is. She's at Atmore.
Mm-hmm. No.
No. Mm-mm, no.
Tutwiler.
Yeah, my bad.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They said that she was isolated and traumatized. So I guess they're claiming that he forced her to move in with him and isolated her from the world. You know, said that she went out and ran errands and came home and that was about it.
Okay.
I guess that's as sound a defense as any.
But if you're a prosecutor, you're poking holes in them that you could leave at any time. You went out to run errands. Mm-hmm. So why didn't you just stay gone from running errands?
Yeah,
but we all understand.
Yeah, but if that's a jury trial, they're going to try to get women on the jury who maybe have done the same thing. They felt emotionally compromised or like they couldn't leave the house.
Sure.
So they're going to go, I'd never called the police, but there were plenty of times when I should have or would have or wish I had.
Well, you want sympathetic jurors.
That's the word.
Yeah.
Well, yes, this case is not going to go to a jury trial.
Oh, okay.
because in the end, she's going to accept a plea deal and plead guilty to a lesser charge of second degree murder.
Okay.
Well, she said when they got there, I just killed my boyfriend. Mm-hmm. Oh. I mean, she didn't try to.
Mm-hmm. No, there's not a.
She's sitting there holding the weapon.
Yeah, not a theory of a breaking and entering or a, mm-hmm. you know, struggle or.
She's saying, I got tired of it and I snapped, mm-hmm. right? Basically, that's her story.
So what she gets.
It was a 40 year sentence to serve every day. So no getting out early.
Okay.
But so that was 2015 that it happened. So she probably, trial was in 20, or lack thereof, trial would have been 2016. Yeah. And so, yeah, so she'll be eligible for release when she's 82 years old. So, I mean, basically a life sentence.
That was part of the deal.
And they served the time. From what I look, because it said that she'd be eligible for release.
Okay.
And not parole.
Not
so.
Parole, but release. Right. Okay.
And so she's in prison in Florida, which I don't, I mean, I can't imagine what the conditions are in a Florida prison.
I have no idea. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
The house that he sat in has now been sold.
Mm.
And I don't know what they did with the recliner.
You were going to say that.
I got to know.
Because I wanted to know too, but I wasn't going to ask.
Where is this recliner?
That's what the neighbors wanted to know too, but the recliner is gone. I guess it would have been evidence. Because, I mean, there really
wasn't. It might have been.
I don't know. I what did say other than.
She was a victim. She wasn't a.
She just didn't. I'm not.
She didn't have to say anything because eventually her defense attorney got with the DA and they said, look, let's just.
Had a deal.
Yeah, we're going to say she was temporarily insane. All we need to do is put a doubt in a jury's mind and they're going to let her walk.
Mm-hmm.
That, I'm sure that was the defense's side of mm-hmm. the negotiation.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess in between murder one and.
Well, now, yeah, she's actually going to plead no contest was her technical plea term. So she really didn't say anything. I mean, she didn't offer an explanation. She didn't take up for herself. Just no contest. Basically, I'm not going to argue with you.
But no one in. What's the man's name?
Clifford.
Clifford. No one in Clifford's life is saying that Clifford was a violent. Mm-mm. He doesn't have a criminal record or anything.
And now you're making the prosecution's side of the negotiation, right? That's what the prosecution is telling the defense attorney.
Mm-hmm. Well,
there's no proof that he did this. We're going to say that she was making it up and she shot him for some other reason.
Yeah.
And that there's and somewhere the twain met.
Well, because she shot him because she's a murderer. That's that would be my
exactly.
argument.
I mean,
you know,
really.
Yeah, we're gonna put her in
and
the chair.
And let's say he may have popped off something. Maybe he sat in that recliner and said the most awful things.
Mm-hmm.
Again, also, though, he's in the recliner.
Yeah,
he was supposed to be dead soon anyway.
I mean, this man is dying.
And what is Katie possibly? Just made another defense argument in that negotiation. He's supposed to be dead soon anyway because he has terminal lung cancer. I know, but I'll bet you it got brought up.
I'm sure it did.
When that sentence and that plea and that sentence was being
But then
negotiated.
If I'm the prosecutor, I'm saying, okay, well, he doesn't feel well. He's out of his mind. Don't you say things when you're
medication.
Upset or when you don't feel well? You may say things you don't mean or.
For all we know, this is a word for word recreation. Of what happened.
Maybe. I doubt. They probably sound more eloquent than I do, but.
I don't know.
I don't know what's going on here.
But now, his daughter is the only one I've seen speak out to media, and she's going to talk about how she'd been trying to have a baby while he was alive, and she finally got pregnant, and the baby wasn't born until after he had passed. Said that he really just wanted to spend his last little time with his family, take one more trip to Las Vegas. They had finally come to terms with that he was going to pass soon. And then, to her words, she said Melissa just couldn't let him live a peaceful life. There's also some alleged text messages between Melissa and Clifford's brother before he passed. And I don't really have any context on that to go into too much detail. But now this story of Melissa Kennedy was pretty short and sweet and to the point. Oh, it's not sweet, but short and to the point. But it gets weird here because...
It gets
oh,
weird.
Just now?
What? Because when I was researching her, I actually started researching a Michelle Kennedy because someone had given me a tip to do that story. And I don't know who it was. I have it in a
note in my phone, just like when people will see me out and they'll say, you need to do this one. And so I'll just put a note in my phone. So when it was my turn to come up again, I look in that note and I was like, oh, Michelle Kennedy murdered boyfriend. I'm looking it up. And there wasn't a whole lot of information I could find. But then this Melissa Kennedy kept popping up every time I would Google Michelle Kennedy murdered boyfriend.
Yeah.
There is a Michelle Kennedy who supposedly murdered her boyfriend right down the road.
What? From us?
From us. In Etowah County.
What?
Huh.
And that was supposedly a domestic incident as well. And she was charged with the murder of her boyfriend after a shooting occurred at their residence. And police responded. Boyfriend, fatal gunshot wound. Right. He was pronounced dead at the scene. She had said that he was attacking her and she was defending herself. So it was self-defense. Herself.
When did this happen?
In 2018.
Okay.
So 3 years later.
And so she was apparent from the few Gadsden Times articles I saw on it. There were some discrepancies in her accounts and the evidence. So that's what led them to charge her with murder.
Mm-hmm. Did her boyfriend have a history of violent behavior or anything like that?
I think we will know the answer to that question based on what Katie is about to tell us about how long her sentence was. Gotcha. I'm guessing, maybe. Right?
She was not sentenced. She was not actually, it ended up there not even being prosecuted.
Oh, wow. So they really thought there was something to the self-defense.
From what I can tell.
And
you can't really get, like I said, this are Gadsden Times articles. I tried to look it up, too, in the court system, but it wasn't prosecuted. Right. So
because it never went to court. Okay.
She had a $200,000 bond for a while, but then she got out. And
Oh, my goodness.
That was kind of muddying up my research because I kept, sorry, I was like, wait.
Yeah.
And so then I thought about doing the Gadsden case instead, but there was little.
You got to have some minimum amount of information to do one of these things.
Sure. Mm-hmm. And if it doesn't go to court, that's usually when all the evidence, when you find out the information, you can, those documents are kind of boring to read, but they have everything.
Yep.
They're in there.
That's true.
Yeah. And a little word to the wise, if you're going to go out and commit a crime.
I'm listening.
People can pull that information.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like it becomes public record, you know?
Yeah.
So don't think I won't look you up.
Yeah. We know how to do that.
Yeah, we do. I don't know how to do that. But I'm going to call y'all if I need to.
Go to the circuit clerk's office and he turns you loose on the computer and you have access. It's public record.
Okay, and I have an account. I can do it right here in the comfort of my office.
Katie can do it from the studio.
Holy moly, you have been warned. Mm-hmm. So, and I get why you title it Michelle Kennedy because that's both their names.
Yeah.
Wow, that's just 25 minutes away from where we sit in our studios.
And not that, I mean, what year did we start this?
21.
So it was 3 years before we started.
Mm-hmm. April of 21 was our first episode.
Look at us go. Now here we are in April of 25.
What season is this? 5.
Is it?
Yeah, because it's season 5.
Yeah, season 5.
Okay, season 5.
Yeah, because whatever year it is, that's season 1 was 21 and so on.
But back to Panhandle Michelle Kennedy. She is still incarcerated.
She's in Florida State Prison.
Okay.
I'm guessing it's the women's prison.
But the other Michelle Kennedy's is still in jail too, right? No, never did. That's
never.
Right. Never did anything.
Nothing.
Well, she went to jail.
She sat in jail
for a little bit.
With that $200,000 bond.
Until they figured everything out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's see. See, when I'm trying to search the name of Florida State Prisons, I'm getting the Michelle in Gadsden. I'm sorry for that, Michelle. Let's see.
The women's prison in Florida. I think there's just one, but I don't remember.
Usually is the case we're finding with other states.
There may be more than one in Florida because we have one women's prison here in Alabama and a population of 4 million people, more or less.
Mm-hmm.
Probably four times that many people live in all of Florida.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, there's just...
Is there like 4 million people in the Miami area alone?
Probably, yeah. So proportionately speaking, they would have to have more women's prisons.
The Florida Women's Reception Center Ocala.
It sounds like a place where you go to have a bridal tea.
That sounds like polishing a turd to me. It's still jail.
And then there's one called the Gadsden Correctional, which is a medium security prison. Right. I don't know if I'm...
And that's in Florida, and it's called Gadsden?
Gadsden Correctional.
Just Florida and Gadsden crossing lines all over place in this episode.
What's that all about?
No, weird. There's a glitch in the matrix today.
I have deja vu right now.
Well, Katie, I mean, is there anything else that we need to know that you found out?
I feel like this episode has been entirely too short.
No, it's not. I like it.
It's been fine.
No, I think you did what you could with all that. But I hope that Michelle Kennedy in Florida got the help that she needed, because there was obviously something going on there, because, yeah, she's a murderer. I don't believe she was abused, but it doesn't matter what I believe.
Yeah.
I don't know the truth, but there's definitely some mental health issues there, some deep mental health issues. And I hope she was able during her time to get that worked out, or to at least get some treatment.
Yeah, maybe there's some effort to rehabilitate.
Especially if she's going to be released back into the public soon. Everybody wants that.
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess it is coming. Well, what are we in? 2025?
It's 25. She's still got all that time. Yeah. To go, but I hope that she gets that. And my heart goes out to his family. Did he have any family around? Did they mention any family?
I tried to look up his family, and I tried to look up his prior life. There just wasn't a whole lot.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Goodness.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Well, I hate that, but you did a great job today, Katie. Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the conclusion of today's episode.
We wrapped it up real nice.
Yeah. So say something nice about us. We're waiting on for Katie social to hit the media. Music, you can go to Facebook. Yeah. You can go to Instagram.
You could do that if you wanted to.
You could email us at truecrimeoneasystreet.
It has been done
at
before.
gmail.com.
You would not be the first, but we would welcome you adding your name to the list of people who have emailed us.
Right. And check us out on our new hosting platform, Believe, BLEAV.com.
I'm going to go next week and listen to some of the pro football podcasts that are available on Believe, because the NFL draft is coming up, and I'm curious to see what some of the teams are eyeballing as far as NFL talent.
Yeah, they
you
have
can
a
hear
lot
that
of,
on Believe.
Yeah, they have a lot of sports podcasts there. They have all kinds of variety of podcasts, and we're just one of those little spices.
Are we meeting
the mix
our
there?
Contractual obligations by the mention we just made? I'm not sure exactly.
Oh, we're meeting them.
Okay,
definitely. Thank you, Believe, for being our host platform.
Uh-huh.
I don't have anything else.
Good job today, Katie Beth.
Yes.
Is that it? Are we done?
I think that's it.
We're done.
Good night, everybody.